Life. My table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect.
Justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy.
And protection.
Fairness.
Fair time.
Criticism.
Right.
Work.
Peace.
Losers.
Men.
This is my mistake. Let me make it good. I raise the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum.
Identity.
Family.
Home.
Conscience.
Expression.
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 Participation.
Democracy.
Welfare.
Work.
Work.
Leisure.
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 Health.
Education.
Culture.
Culture.
Human rights.
Charter Dana.
Solid.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM and over the internet at cjtr.ca. We can also be heard on Sastel Max at channel 806 and Access Communications Digital Service on channel 341. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, and joining me today is my co-host Gord Barnes, and today we have a special show looking at the life of well-known activist and folk singer Pete Seeger. I am really looking forward to this, Gord.
It's going to be a great program. We're a little nervous about this because there's such an incredible range of music to pick from, and when we heard the news that Pete Seeger had passed away earlier this week, you know, it was tough news. He's left us an incredible gift of wonderful song, good humor, and activism. And we thought we'd take the next hour to share some of that that history. And so much of it will live on and be enjoyed, I'm confident, for generations to come. So, Jim, I think you were going to start with a little bit of, in terms of the tribute, with a little bit of background about Pete Seeger, and share that with our listeners to start with.
Right, and you know, it's going to be really tough because he did so much, through his life, and an hour is not long enough to really. we're just going to be scratching the surface.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, here's what we have to start off with. He was a musician, singer, songwriter, folklorist, labor activist, environmentalist, and peace advocate. Seeger was born in Paterson, New York, son of Charles and Constance Seeger, whose families traced their ancestry back to the Mayflower. Seeger grew up in an unusually politicized environment. His father, Charles, had been a music professor at the University of California in Berkeley, where his pacifism, I'm having trouble with that word, pacifism, won him so many enemies that he quit teaching in the fall of 1918. At 13, Pete Seeger became a subscriber to the New Masses. Now, for those of you who don't know what the New Masses was, that was sort of a magazine for lefties, sort of a radical magazine. And so you can imagine at 13, that's kind of an unusual thing for a 13-year-old to have a subscription to. His heroes were Lincoln Steffens and Mike Gold. And Mike Gold was one of the editors, one of the founders of the New Masses. And he aspired to a career in journalism. In 1936, he heard the five-string banjo for the first time at the Folk Song and Dance Festival at Asheville, North Carolina. And his life changed forever. Seeger spent two unhappy years at Harvard and left before final exams in the spring of 1938. He made his way to New York, where he eventually landed a job with the archives of American folk music. Seeger spent 1939 and 1940 seeking out legendary folk song figures such as the blues singer Lead Belly and labor militant Aunt Molly Jackson. By 1940, he'd become quite an accomplished musician, thanks in no small part to his enormous self-discipline and Puritan rectitude. On March 3, 1940, a date folklorist Alan Lomax once said could be celebrated as the beginning of modern folk music, Seeger met Woody Guthrie at a Grapes of Wrath migrant worker benefit concert. In 1940, the duo helped form the Almanac Singers, a loosely organized musical collective that included Lee Hayes, Millard Lample, Sis Cunningham, Sonny Terry, Brownie McGee, and others. The Almanac Singers initially recorded labor songs like the Talking Union Blues, which they created as an organizing song for the CIO. The Almanacs also recorded pacifist tunes like the Ballad of October 16. In retrospect, an embarrassingly shrill attack on Eleanor and Franklin Roosevelt and the effort to prepare for the war against fascism. With the entry of the United States into World War II and the creation of the U.S.-Soviet alliance, the Almanacs suddenly attained respectability. They appeared on a coast-to-coast radio broadcast the William Morris Advertising Agency offered to help with publicity, and the group was invited to sing in some of New York's poshest nightclubs. The allure of success posed a problem for Seeger and the Almanacs that has been a particularly nettlesome one for him and artists on the left. What concessions can or should an artist make to a mass audience without loss of artistic integrity and political radicalism? By the time Seeger was drafted in 1942, however, critics had called attention to the Almanacs' ties, and the FBI had already begun to fill what is no doubt a very fat file on the tall, skinny balladeer. While on his first leave from the Army, Seeger also married Toshi Ota, who virtually all of their friends agree played a crucial role in organizing Seeger's career and managing his finances. In 1948, Seeger accompanied Progressive Party presidential candidate Henry Wallace as he toured the South, an experience that seemed particularly depressing and alienating. Soon, the People's Songs Collective Seeger had established in 1945 fell apart. On September 4, 1949, Seeger's car was attacked, and his wife and three-year-old son were slightly injured by shattered glass at the infamous Peekskill, New York riot. Seeger's creativity has always seemed nurtured by adversity. Amid the siege-like climate of the late 40s, he and Lee Hayes co-wrote If I Had a Hammer, one of the most optimistic paeans to the possibilities of constructive social change. By 1950, Hayes and Seeger, along with Fred Hellerman and Ronnie Gilbert, formed The Weavers and enjoyed instant success with highly sweetened versions of Goodnight Irene and other folk tunes. Just as quickly as the Weavers topped the charts, however, their career was torpedoed by blacklisting, red baiting, and numerous cancellations of their performances at the last minute. Seeger spent the 50s defining and nurturing his own audience. He still performed occasionally with the Weavers, but he mainly supported his family with appearances on the college circuit and at left summer camps. He also recorded 5 to 6 albums per year for Folkways Records. In 1955, Seeger was subpoenaed by the House Un-American Activities Committee and became one of the few witnesses called that year who didn't invoke the Fifth Amendment. In a dramatic appearance before the committee, Seeger claimed that to discuss his political views and associates violated his First Amendment rights. The following year, which saw Seeger compose Where Have All the Flowers Gone, Seeger, Arthur Miller, and six others were indicted for contempt of Congress by an overwhelming vote in the House of Representatives. In 1961, he was found guilty of contempt, and on April 2nd, he was sentenced to 1 year in prison for each of 10 charges, all 10 sentences to be served concurrently. The following year, his ordeal ended when the case was dismissed on a technicality. Seeger had cultivated a folk music revival in the 1950s, and the movement gathered momentum from 1958 into the early 1960s, and ABC decided to cash in on the craze with a weekly television show, Hootenanny. But enthusiasm for the program waned when it was discovered that Seeger had been blacklisted and would not be permitted to appear. Pete Seeger spent a considerable amount of time in the South during the civil rights marches of the 1960s. It was his variation of an old spiritual which Seeger called We Shall Overcome that has become an anthem of the crusade for equality in America. The Vietnam War deeply and personally offended Seeger, who used his network television return on the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour to air a scathing attack on Lyndon Johnson's policies, waist-deep in the Big Muddy. The song was cut by network censors, but Seeger made a second appearance on the program and sang the song without interruption. Like many old leftists, Seeger was not entirely comfortable with the cultural radicalism of the 1960s. He disliked the generational tensions fostered by the movement. He once recorded a song called Be Kind to Parents, and repeatedly advised young radicals to avoid divisions among generational lines. Amidst the mud and despair of Resurrection City, an effort by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s followers to carry out his dream of establishing a poor people's community in Washington and focusing the nation's attention on the problems of the poor, Seeger began to question the validity of his activism. In the 1970s and 1980s, he continued to perform benefits for causes too diverse to list, but increasingly, Seeger focused his attention on environmental issues. When Pete Seeger and his friends launched the sloop Clearwater into the Hudson River in 1969, he was, in effect, fulfilling a lifelong love of the outdoors and a long-standing desire to do something to clean up the environment polluted by irresponsible corporate and public water usage. Pete Seeger has become a highly visible and much-beloved figure in American life. He has issued some 100 records, written and collaborated on numerous radical songbooks, articles, and technical manuals on playing the banjo. 60 years after the Popular Front, Seeger is one of the last links with the optimistic and expansive culture of Depression-era America. And that was written by Richard Taskin.
It's a great summary of Pete Seeger's career and an amazing tribute. We thought that would be a good way to begin the program. And the thought we had was we'd begin with one of the pieces that was referred to in that tribute, and that's We Shall Overcome. We Shall Overcome was actually first recorded in 1963 in June by Pete Seeger. He sang it live at Carnegie Hall in New York City, and soon after that, he and his family began a 10-month world concert tour. The recording was popularized. Performed in Australia, India, Tanzania, Kenya, Israel, and many other countries. And everywhere he went, he sang, We Shall Overcome. When he went to Indonesia, he said, Here's a song that has accomplished a revolution in our country, and I hope it can in yours. After the concert, Indonesian political activists told him, We have military men planning to rule our country. Songs are not enough to stop them. There was a little bit of a respectful disagreement between them and Pete. So we're going to, I think we've got that ready to go, and we shall overcome.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Montgomery, Alabama. They said, we are not afraid. And the young people taught everybody else a lesson. All the older people that had learned how to compromise and learned how to take it easy and be polite and get along and leave things as they were. The young people taught us all a lesson.
We are not
That's just a great reminder of one of the significant parts of Pete Seeger's career and a feature of so much of his music, and that is the sing-along.
What an amazing performer he was. And it's one of those songs that it's a tear almost comes to your eye when you hear it.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, that found its way into, in 1964, the concluding part of Martin Luther King's acceptance speech when he won the Nobel Peace Prize. He said in Oslo, Norway, "I accept this award today with an abiding faith in America and audacious faith in the future of mankind. I refuse to accept the view that mankind is so tragically bound to the starless midnight of racism and war that the bright daybreak of peace and brotherhood can never become a reality. I have the audacity to believe that people everywhere can have 3 meals a day for their bodies, education for their and culture for their minds, and dignity and equality and freedom for their spirits. I still believe that one day mankind will be crowned triumphant over war and bloodshed. I still believe that we shall overcome. And, you know, the other reference I'd just make before we go on to our next selection is that years after apartheid ended, Nobel Peace Prize winner Archbishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa reflected on the song's role in that struggle, and he said, "We shall overcome is not about eliminating an enemy. It's about winning over a new friend." So, Jim, I think you've got another selection to share.
Yeah, this one is Waist Deep in the Big Muddy. I referred to it in that last piece, the opening piece.
Right.
That Pete Seeger sang on the Smothers Brothers show. And, of course, those of us who are long enough in the tooth to remember the Smothers Brothers, they got into trouble for being politically incorrect as well, and they ended up sort of banned from TV, I guess, for a little while. So this was the song that that Pete Seeger sang with, and it was made to sort of reference the whole idea of military activity. Waist Deep in the Big Muddy.
It was back in 1942, I was a member of a good platoon. We were on maneuvers in Louisiana one night by the light of the moon. The captain told us to ford a river, that's how it all begun. We were knee-deep in the big muddy, the big fool said to push on. Well, the sergeant said, "Sir, are you sure this is the best way back to the base?" "Sergeant, go on, I forded this river about a mile above this place. It'll be a little soggy, but just keep slogging, we'll soon be on dry ground." We were waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool said to push on. Sergeant said, "Sir, with all this equipment, no man will be able to swim." "Sergeant, don't be a nervous Nelly," the captain said to him. "All we need is a little determination. Men, follow me, I'll lead on." We were neck deep in the big muddy, the big fool said to push on. All at once the moon clouded over, we heard a gurgling cry. A few seconds later, the captain's helmet was all that floated by. The sergeant said, "Turn around, men, I'm in charge from now on." And we just made it out of the big muddy with the captain dead and gone. We stripped and dived and found his body stuck in the old quicksand. I guess he didn't know that the water was deeper than the place he'd once before been. Another stream had joined the big muddy about a half mile from where he'd gone. We were lucky to escape from the big muddy when the big fool set to push on. Well, I'm not going to point any moral, I'll leave that for yourself. Maybe you're still walking, you're still talking, you'd like to keep your health. But every time I read the paper, them old feelings come on. We're waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep, neck deep, soon even a tall man will be over his head. We're waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on.
It was really interesting going through YouTube and looking for different performances by Pete Seeger and that sort of thing. And one of the things that I came across was a reunion performance of the Weavers, and it was Pete Seeger and Lee Hayes, Fred Hellerman, Ronnie Gilbert, and he had sung with them for a while, and then they eventually fell apart, and so they hadn't sung for a long time. They got together at a special performance, and they did a song that they became really famous for. I think it did very well in terms of the hit parade, that type of thing, and a song that we're all very, very familiar with, Irene Goodnight.
Well, Irene, goodnight. Irene, goodnight. Goodnight, Irene. Goodnight, Irene. I'll see you in my dream. Well, I love Irene. God knows that I do. I love her till the seas run dry. But if Irene turns her back on me, I'm gonna take morphine and die.
Before we have to end our song, let's sing it one more time.
That was the last performance of the Weavers, a special reunion concert. Wow, something special at a concert with Pete Seeger and company, that's for sure, don't you think, Gord?
That's right. Good choice.
Yep. Another song that I'm quite familiar with, partly because of a visit a few years ago by the late Utah Phillips. Utah Phillips was supposed to be here again, and unfortunately he was unable to. His health was bad, and then unfortunately he passed away. But I was at the last time he was here for the Folk Festival, and of course he's a union singer, self-styled wobbly and all the rest of it. And he sang Which Side Are You On, which is a great union song. And, of course, Pete Seeger sang this as well, so I thought we'd give Pete's version a try here.
Great.
Right.
side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? They say in Harlan County there are no neutrals there. You'll either be a Union man or a thug for J.H. Blair. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? My daddy was a miner, and I'm a miner's son. He'll be with you, fellow workers, until this battle's won. Tell me, which side are you on? Which side are you on? Sing it! Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Oh, workers, can you stand it? Tell me how you can. Will you be a lousy scab, or will you be a man? Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Tell me, which side are you on? Which side are you on? I'll tell of how the good old Union has come in here to dwell. Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Tell me, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
One thing you always get the sense of, Gord, when Pete's singing, he wants you to sing along with him.
Yeah.
Now everybody's singing along.
It's hard to resist. You know, I'm not much of a singer, and everybody knows me will attest to that, but it's a wonderful way to spend the afternoon.
Yeah, that is for sure. That is for sure. I've got another item here that a tribute to Pete Seeger. This time it's from President Obama. And this is what President Obama had to say. Once called America's tuning fork, Pete Seeger believed deeply in the power of song. But more importantly, he believed in the power of community. To stand up for what's right, speak out against what's wrong, and move this country closer to the America he knew we could be. Seeger died at New York Hospital, his grandson said. His songs included Turn, 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 and If I Had a Hammer. In 2009, he was at a gala concert in the U.S. Capitol ahead of President Obama's inauguration as president. In his tribute, the president praised Seeger's activism. Over the years, Pete used his voice and his hammer to strike blows for workers' rights and civil rights, world peace, and environmental conservation. And he always invited us to sing along. For reminding us where we come from and showing us where we need to go, we will always be grateful to Pete Seeger. Michelle and I send our thoughts and prayers to Pete's family and all those who loved him, Barack Obama added. Seeger gained fame in the Weavers, formed in 1948, and continued to perform in his own right in a career spanning six decades. Renowned for his protest songs, Seeger was blacklisted by the U.S. government in the 50s for his leftist stance. Denied broadcast exposure, Seeger toured U.S. college campuses, spreading his music and ethos, later calling this the most important job of my career. He was quizzed by the Un-American Activities Committee in 1955 over whether he had sung for communists, replying that he greatly resented the implication that his work made him any less American. Seeger was charged with contempt of Congress, but the sentence was overturned on appeal. He returned to TV in the late 1950s, but had a protest song about the Vietnam War cut from the broadcast. That was at Waist Deep in Big Muddy that we were talking about. British singer and left-wing activist Billy Bragg, who performed with Seeger on several occasions, called the singer hugely encouraging. He was a very gentle man and intensely optimistic, he told the BBC. He believed in humanity and the power of music to make a difference, not to change the world. I performed at his 90th birthday, this is Billy Bragg still, and the fire was still there. Seeger became a standard bearer for political causes, from nuclear disarmament to the Occupy Wall Street movement in 2011. In 2009, he was at a gala concert in the U.S. Capitol ahead of Barack Obama's inauguration as president. His predecessor, Bill Clinton, hailed the musician as an inconvenient artist who dared to sing things, as he saw them. Other songs that he co-wrote included Where Have All the Flowers Gone, while he was credited with making We Shall Overcome an anthem of resistance. And on that note, I think I've got Where Have All the Flowers Gone, so I think I'd like to hear that.
Great.
What do you think, Gordon?
Good choice. I think that's a good choice for the next selection.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Girls have picked them, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the young girls gone? Long time passing. Where have all
out with flowers, everyone.
When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
That's probably one of the most famous songs. You know, I remember when I was a kid, which is a year or two ago, and I had a ukulele, and I tormented everyone with my ukulele, but most of the songs I recognize as Pete Seeger singing here now were ones I didn't know who had written them and who was singing them. Well, they were popular in my day, and I had a little repertoire, you know, of If I Had a Hammer and Where Have All the Flowers Gone, things like that. But I guess I'm a child of the 60s, Gord.
And, you know, Pete Seeger is connected to just so much music. As you've mentioned, the Weavers, Dylan, obviously. You know, there's stuff with Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he sang with lots of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. He wasn't... I've got an interesting piece here from The Economist.
All right.
And they appreciate him, but they point out some of his, as far as they're concerned, foibles. And so here it goes. This is from The Economist. Rulers should be careful about what songs are allowed to be sung. Pete Seeger, who died this week at the age of 94, liked that quote from Plato. His tunes constantly poked the eyes of America's rulers. The civil rights movement marched to his version of We Shall Overcome. Peaceniks never tired of Where Have All the Flowers Gone. Vietnam War protesters loved his adaptation of Beans in My Ears with its coy attack on Lyndon Johnson. Mr. Seeger encouraged audiences to join in. Folk songs were for the people, he maintained. The emphasis on the solo front man was a commercial invention. In Alan Winkler's book about Mr. Seeger's music, To Everything There Is a Season, Tom Paxton recalls Pete never tried to convince us that he was Appalachian or black, Irish, African, or Scottish. But made the song the star, and the singer merely the presenter. The revolutionary who wrote If I Had a Hammer was also a traditionalist, telling roadies, if I had an axe, I'd chop the microphone cable at Bob Dylan's electric performance at the Newport Folk Festival in 1965. He palled around with Woody Guthrie, riding freight trains and hanging with hobos. But he wasn't like Woody, who was the real thing, raised in hard times before joining the Okie immigration out west. Mr. Seeger came from Manhattan, the establishment, pacifist parents who traced the roots back 200 years and were classical musicians. His father trained at Harvard, his mother in Paris, both taught at Juilliard. He hated the boarding schools he went to. His progressive fans admired him for standing up to the Red Baiters of the House Un-American Activities Committee in 1955. He refused to take the Fifth, but dodged the congressman's questions, insisting that, although my opinions may be different from yours, I love my country very deeply. He offered to play his banjo for his inquisitors. 54 years later, he sang Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land at a concert for Barack Obama's inauguration. Conservatives were less charmed. It was wrong to blacklist singers in the 1950s, but that did not excuse Mr. Seeger's lifelong embrace of communism and blindness to its horrors, they said. My gosh, it sure is a book-reading country, Mr. Seeger gushed to a Russian interviewer during a visit to the Soviet Union in 1965. It took decades for him to acknowledge that Stalin was a supremely cruel misleader. In 2007, he wrote a letter responding to an article titled Time for Pete Seeger to Repent. It was in the New York Sun, and he admitted, I think you're right. I should have asked to see the gulags. He remained a communist, though, with a small c. He never did quite turn. That's another song. We'll see if we can dig that one up, Gord, if we have time. But one song that I really wanted to play, and another one that that Utah Phillips played when he was here, was The Ballad of Joe Hill.
All right.
And Joe Hill, of course, was a union organizer who I believe was, I think, didn't he die in a firing squad?
Executed in in November of 1915.
Right, right. And they trumped up some kind of a murder charge against him, but it was just because, you know, the big business there wanted him gone.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So that's what this song is about. So here we go. This is the Ballad of Joe Hill.
Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. In Salt Lake, Joe, by God, says I, him standing by my bed. They framed you on a murder charge, says Joe, but I ain't dead. Says Joe, but I ain't dead. The copper bosses killed you, Joe. They shot you, Joe, says I. Takes more than guns to kill a man, says Joe, I didn't die. Says Joe, I didn't die. And standing there as big as life, and smiling with his eyes, Joe says what they forgot to kill.
One of the tough parts of doing this show, Gord, is picking what we're going to play.
Yeah, we're never going to get through it all. And I was just thinking during the hour-long program, maybe we should have done this as a 24-hour program for on the community radio here. You know, there's so many things to choose from. And I did want to mention that last one is very well sung by Paul Robeson as well. And I've got that at home, and if people get a chance to take a look at that, it's fabulous music when Paul Robeson sings it. I also wanted, before the end of the program, Jim, just mention that while I was doing a little bit of research for the program, I came across a beautiful book at the Central Branch of the Children's Library in Regina. It's in the children's section. It's a book that's called We Shall Overcome, A Song That Changed the World. And it's by Stuart Stouts. It's got a foreword by Pete Seeger and lots of great history, wonderful illustrations. And I'd certainly recommend that one. And I also came across a little bit of interesting kind of connection to the future and contemporary events, really. And then I found a book that's actually by Laura Seeger. And, Jim, you said you were able to clarify who that is for us. But it's a really great little book. It's called Bully. And it's basically just illustrations. You'll find it in the children's section of the library. Not a lot of words to it, but you sure get the message well. And I'd recommend checking it out. And you were able to discover who Laura Seeger is.
She is. She claims Pete Seeger as her uncle-in-law.
All right. So
yeah,
there's something that sort of brings it into one of the issues that is so contemporarily discussed right now and a concern in our community here in Regina and right across the country.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. What have we got to do here next? Here,
I think we're probably at the point where we should look at playing the
Forever Young.
Let's
play Forever Young.
This, by the way, is on an amazing CD that's done for Amnesty International, and we're going to be playing other songs off of that on future Human Rights Radio programs. It's actually got four discs to it and lots of fabulous music. You can actually get this from Amnesty International. I'd recommend it. It's just so many things that it's, got Bob Dylan on it. Billy Bragg, as you mentioned earlier, Jim, Joan Baez, so many fabulous songs. And of course, this choice by, Pete Seeger.
Right. And, he's a little, this is one of when he was quite old and I think starting to slide a little. So
but
here
it's fabulous.
Yeah, here he is.
And may you stay forever young. May you stay forever young. May you grow up to be righteous. May you grow up to be true. May you always know the truth and see the lights surrounding you. May you always be courageous. Stand upright and be strong. And may you stay forever young. May you stay forever young. Hands always be busy. May your feet always be swift. May you have a strong foundation when the winds of changes shift. May your heart always be joyful. May your song always be sung. And may you stay forever young. 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 May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. And may you stay forever young. May you stay forever young. May you stay forever young.